Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guest is Dr. Kim Fries. She's a serial entrepreneur, psychologist, and an ecosystem steward of the Southern Oregon Innovation Hub. Dr. Fries uplifts underserved voices in entrepreneurship. On June 12th, she'll be leading the Pitch Latino event in downtown Medford. You're welcome to join the conversation by email at jx@jeffnet.org. Welcome to the exchange, Dr. Fries.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with, what is the Southern Oregon Innovation Hub?
It's a great question. I'm so excited to share the information with you. The Southern Oregon Innovation Hub is part of a greater movement in Oregon. It's connected to Business Oregon's 10-year innovation plan. It's really an exciting, endeavor on the state of Oregon. And so what happened was there were funds allocated to different regions. And so there's 9 hubs in the state. Southern Oregon Innovation Hub was really lucky to be funded and be a part of this work. And so what it centers around is really, accelerating innovation in Oregon, increasing our startups and new businesses and, recruiting new folks to our region to get us back on the map. There's a really neat tagline with that about Oregon wanting to be known across the nation as, the innovation state where people are drawn to and, what's happening. My job and what we do particularly at the Southern Oregon Innovation Hub is to really support entrepreneurs, connect entrepreneurs with the entrepreneurial support organizations such as So Ready and WESO, and we work with Coliseo and Fortaleza and the SBDCs and the colleges. And then to provide some education, workshops. I've been having a blast offering pitches in all of our regions. We cover Jackson and Josephine County. And then we've also been providing resources and access to mentorship and coaching. I am personally a mentor with some of our entrepreneurs, which I really enjoy. And then just technical support and then events that help build community confidence and momentum. And it sounds like a lot, but it's super amazing. And we've actually feel like we've made some traction in our region, and people are getting excited and talking about it. And it feels like there's a new energy around this work centered around the entrepreneurial ecosystem.
Well, your title is an ecosystem steward. Tell me, how do you steward an ecosystem?
That's a great question. I want to tell you, when I received the title, I thought, all right, now, how do I steward an ecosystem? I've been an entrepreneur for most of my life, 30 years. I had about 23 different businesses. And through my career, I wanted to go back into being an entrepreneur, but more so I wanted to help entrepreneurs. And I literally had a conversation when I moved to Oregon over 5 years ago, and I said, I would really love to build an entrepreneurial ecosystem. So 5 years later, here I am. And so steward means just really a lot. It means a lot about connection, making the right connections, building relationships, building trust, and, fostering connection and collaboration. So really stewarding is, in essence, really caring and placemaking in our region and making sure that that ecosystem is strong. It has the right partners. It's collaborative. It's open, lots of communication. And I think of it as just like really fostering something and help guiding it so that it eventually becomes a part of the ecosystem, is active on its own, if that makes sense, within our region. From that stewarding, people buy in and they get involved, and I stay there to kind of help make sure that everything runs smoothly, and if anyone needs anything, I'm there.
Yeah, when I think of an ecosystem, I think of nature, where, and I also yeah. think of there's no wrong doors. So if you enter an ecosystem, there's someone there in a supportive way to guide you where you need to go.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that's Absolutely. Your job.
That's my job, yes. Yep.
So tell me, where'd you grow up? How did you get involved in entrepreneurship?
I started really young. I was one of those kids that had a huge imagination. I was an inventor and an innovator, and I actually had some little companies and things that I ran when I was 12 and 13, and I ran those little offshoots, mini businesses, I call them, or side gigs. And I amassed about $20,000, and I moved out when I was 17, and then I kept saving money, and I launched my first company at 19, and I had a different mentality. I always wanted to contribute and give back, but I wanted to be my own boss. I wanted to make my own way. And so I continued to do lots of things. I had an assortment of businesses from construction to, I had a hot plant. I had a rock crushing plant. The funniest thing is that with my last name of Freeze, I had an ice company and a 100-year-old ice house in California. Nice. I know that was really fun when I answered the phone and said, this is Kim Freeze. And people said, did you really, is this Kim Freeze or did you change your name? But what I found like was that it was just a whole new world. Like it's such an incredible space to be in because you build all these things, you know, centered around an entrepreneur mindset, you know, the characteristics of such and resiliency and, you know, perseverance and, you know, confidence. And it was just, it was a space that I really thrived. And a lot of my companies, I would see another opportunity within that company. So, you know, I may have a company, but I'd have maybe, you know, two or three offshoots in that company. And honestly, it was just the thrill of, I love creating. I liked buying defunct businesses and building them. But the other side of it was I got to mentor and work with other people. And, you know, all of the folks that work with me were a part of it. And then I was able to help them actually start companies on their own, you know, or see potential in them. So they worked for me, but if they had other aspirations, you know, it just became kind of an incubator. All of my work, you know, kept my companies going, but also fostered that, you know, entrepreneurial spirit.
So how did you get focused on working with underserved populations?
That's another great question. I had just kind of an interesting upbringing, and I wanted to help others that maybe had the same challenges I did. So I started, I also worked for the YMCA for almost 20 years in different capacities. But I started mentoring young folks and bringing them on board, and then I volunteered. It was called the Juvenile Hall, but I started volunteering at the Juvenile Hall, and I saw such a need in our communities and so many people that, you know, maybe had trauma or had never really had a chance in life or were never listened to or never supported. And so I still do that work today. And so I just embedded myself in the community. And then I became known as this person. I guess I was in a steward role at that time. If someone needed anything or even just someone to talk to or I had a restaurant, you know, they needed a meal, I became that person. But because I was so deeply embedded in the community, I worked with, you know, a few of our local tribes, the Karuk and Yurok. I worked with veterans, and I worked with domestic violence, mental health, the Juvenile Hall. So I really became this person who, you know, if someone was in need or, you know, like just something had happened and they needed somewhere to go, I became that person. And so it was just kind of the work is very purpose and heart driven, you know, to make a difference. And so I also work with reentry folks, and I was a second chance employer. And then when I moved to Oregon, you know, I identified again, like every community, we have our gaps and we have our underserved or just historically marginalized populations. And I enjoy working with these folks because you just never know like what potential and what they have. And if their voice hasn't been heard, then, you know, that maybe never comes to fruition. And also in the ecosystem, to be entirely inclusive, it's really not just working with the same people that are at the same meetings and at the table all the time. My work, for me personally, it was really getting out there in our rural regions and connecting with people who have never been at that table. And maybe they have the next great idea, or they want to, you know, change their life and their family, or they need to make more money. And so that's a line that was very long, but it's just I'm very, very dedicated.
My guest is Dr. Kim Freeze. She's a serial entrepreneur, psychologist, and an ecosystem steward of the Southern Oregon Innovation Hub. So Dr. Freeze, underserved entrepreneurs don't have an economic infrastructure. They've been marginally dispossessed of that, and historically dispossessed of that and marginalized. And they don't have entrepreneurial education, mm-hmm. but they do have talent. They do mm-hmm. have creative ideas. Mm-hmm. They do have skills that can be cultivated. So how does the Innovation Hub work with that kind of raw talent?
So that's part of the reason, you know, like with the pitch of Tino bringing that, you are entirely correct. A lot of times it can be, you know, self-limiting beliefs of the individual and again, the education piece. To be really honest, there's just a certain stigma about being an entrepreneur. And, you know, when you see a lot of people, when you say business plan or financials, it kind of, you know, it is intimidating. And so you have to create spaces for these people to be welcomed. It's, you know, a safe environment. They can talk about things. They can ideate and share out their ideas and not feel like they're judged, like they're being accepted. The other thing is that really finding those skills is important. So that's why we host a lot of activities. We do some coffee meetups. We do some pep talks. I'm out in the community consistently. I also lead the 1 Million Cups. It's a Kauffman Foundation program in Grants Pass at the Hive, and we get about 25 to 40 people every Wednesday at 9:30 to 10:30 that come in from the community. And so, you know, they're getting involved, but we're getting entrepreneurs of all skill levels, all experience levels. And that's really, really, really creating those spaces where people can come in. My dream is to have a few different incubators across Jackson and Jefferson County that are ideating, spaces or ideation labs, they call them, where people can say, hey, I have this idea. And they can come in and they can talk about it. We can look at it and, you know, work through it or help them in their next steps. And I'm also a clinical psychologist. And when I was in the doctoral program, I did a whole complete, like, 160 or 360. I flipped completely around on what I was doing. And I wrote my paper was a dissertation on the benefits of entrepreneurial mindset in communities and with community college students with mental health issues. And that became my dissertation. So that's kind of the basis of the work I do. And what I discovered was that people really need spaces where they feel heard and where they can connect. And so that's where a lot of the work centers around reaching those folks, as you shared, that have some incredible skills and talents or a product that they have. And we've discovered several of those. We have lots of good stories. But just providing people a space to talk about entrepreneurship. We have a Latino community navigator. She's fabulous, and she's out in the community. We have an entrepreneurial group that's formed out of that. It's really just, like I said, getting out there and providing a space for people to talk about entrepreneurship, to understand it, and then also providing, those educational opportunities. I will add that besides the 1 Million Cups, the pitches are really, really great. If someone hasn't been to one, you need to go.
Well, you organized the Pitch Latino event that's coming up on June 12th.
Pitch Latino. Yeah, that is, so the Pitch Latino is Latino founders out of Portland. A friend of mine, Juan Barraza, I believe it was formed in 2019. And so I reached out to them, the team up there, and said, hey, we have this incredible group of Latino entrepreneurs down here. They really have very little support. I would love to host the Pitch Latino. And so anyway, that's taken some work and some time, but we are hosting a Pitch Latino event in Medford at the Copper Plank, and it starts at 5:30, open to the public. There are tickets on the Latino Founders website. Also, I could support people if they want to attend with their tickets. But we're super excited. We have seven Latino entrepreneurs presenting, and there's prizes. And it's just, we hopefully will offer it every year. But it's another opportunity to reach our underserved communities and provide a space for them to share their ideas and concepts.
How do people register to attend or participate?
They would go to the Latino Founders website. And when they go to this website, it'll open up, and then you can see the events, and our event is listed there. You can also see the folks, the presenters that are pitching are also listed there, but there is a link to get tickets.
Okay, well, we'll put that on our website.
That'd be great.
How can people learn more about the other events hosted by the Southern Oregon Innovation Hub?
They can visit our website, which is southernoregoninnovationhub.org. They can also, I'm really open. They can contact me directly via email, or sometimes people text me, but super open to communicating. They can also reach us through SoReady. SoReady is our partner and our fiscal manager and co-partner in this work as well. So they can reach out to us on the website or reach out to SoReady.
Well, I'm excited about the work that you're doing. Thank you for doing it.
You are very welcome.
My guest
it's an honor.
My guest was Dr. Kim Fries. She's an ecosystem steward for the Southern Oregon Innovation Hub. I'm Mike Green.